You're listening to Uprising, the Rebuilt Next Gen podcast. Serving kids and students isn't easy, and you don't have much time. That's why this is a car ride's worth of content to help you reimagine, revive, and rebuild next gen ministry.
Welcome to Uprising, the Rebuilt Next Gen podcast. I'm Allie, your host, joined by two special guests today, Marianne and Daniel. You guys want to say hi?
Hi.
Great to be here.
Great to be here. In today's car ride's worth of content, we are kicking off a brand new series called Being a Both and Church. Today, we're going to talk about grace and truth as part of being that both and church. But to start things off today, as always, I want to know, what are you guys loving?
I'm going to start because I'm really excited about this. I am loving fall's cool mornings and nights and the warm, sunny afternoons. I love it.
I hate it.
I know. Sorry. I love it.
No, I agree.
Dressing in layers.
But then you're like shedding them off all day.
Which is amazing.
Soup season.
Yes. Soup season is good. Yes. I agree. Daniel, what are you loving?
Well, I didn't think of that, but I do love soup this time of year. I'm also loving fermenting. I've never done that. And my fiance, Sarah, loves fermenting things. So my favorite thing that we've made is ginger bug, which is how you make ginger beer. It's basically, eventually it can get alcoholic, but it's not, even though it's called beer, it's not alcoholic. So ginger bug is water, grated ginger and sugar, and it ferments. So basically the ginger is eating the sugar. It's feeding the ginger and it gets just really tasty. You leave it out on the counter and it kind of bubbles up and
so
takes a couple of weeks.
How long does it take? Weeks?
So it's kind of like sourdough where you have a starter after a while. And so it's a little bit faster. And then I put it on a heating pad and it just takes a couple of days. And then you feed it a little bit every day, a little bit more ginger, a little bit more water, a little bit more sugar.
Interesting.
So it's really good for, I put sparkling water.
Craft ginger ale?
Kind of. Yeah.
But better?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But better. Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's easy. That's what I'm loving.
Really interesting. Well, I am loving my wood stove that I have at home because of this fall weather. Mm-hmm. It gets cool in the morning, warm in the afternoon, cold again in the evening. And my husband and I are staying strong of not turning on the heat. But
yes,
that wood stove is just the perfect just vibe in the house at night. You cozy up with some tea in the wood stove. And I love it. And this is the first season of like October, Halloween, fall that I'm in my new house with this wood stove. So we're taking full advantage of it. And I love it.
It's awesome.
Lots of things to love this fall season. Well, we are going to jump right in. And just to start us off, I want to set the scene a little bit for us. Look at the way the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus in grace or truth. They wanted an either-or church. They wanted black and white answers. Jesus never shies away from wrong and right, but he also wants to be both and. We don't have to choose grace or truth. We can have both grace and truth. So before we get into how this plays out in Next Gen ministry, we're going to dive in. Tell us a little bit more about grace and truth.
Yeah, we love this verse from the first chapter of John. It's John 1:14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh." So good. Incarnation, the Word becoming flesh. We just spoke about that in a message recently. "And made his dwelling place among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." So one of the first things in describing Jesus the Son is this fullness of grace and truth. So grace and truth are, grace is undeserved favor. That's the typical definition that's given. I love to think of grace as God's help in some way. It can be in little things. It can be Jesus saving us from our sins. I mean, the biggest thing. But grace is God's help or undeserved favor. And truth is defined as that which conforms to the reality perceived by God. God is truth. Jesus is the way, the light, and the truth. So the words that God speaks are truth. When God says something, it is true. It comes to pass. So if you combine those ideas, we think of grace as leniency and truth maybe tending toward the other side is stringency. But in any group, there's a common thread that holds it together. There's an activity or interest, a relationship, a shared purpose. So grace is sort of who would be allowed in that group. Truth is allowed, is someone who's allowed to stay in that group.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a couple examples in real world that might help you understand this. So let's say you have a chess group. So grace would be anyone willing to learn, no skill needed, they can be allowed into the group. That's grace. The truth is, if you're joining the chess group, you have to play by the rules. You can't make up your own game. So that's who's allowed to stay in the rules. So workplace, as another example, and you guys will have to give me a little grace on this because it's lacking a little more in context because only certain people are let in. But let's look at it this way. In the workplace, there's grace because not everyone who interviews gets hired. But the truth is, you have expectations for your work, the time that you're there, filling out your time card, product placement, what you're expected to do, how you treat your customers. That's the truth. And then lastly, a movie club. So, and if you're not in a movie club, this might be something you want to join. They seem really awesome and fun. I know Daniel's in one. But for the movie club, the grace is if you're interested in movies, you can join. It's pretty easy. That's who's allowed in. The truth is, you don't really like watching foreign films. You don't want people to pick that. You're not allowed in the group. Not really, though, Daniel, right? That's
a joke. You just tell people to stop picking those French films.
Yeah. Yes, that's the truth of being in movie club.
No one wants to watch the foreign films. So understanding grace and truth, how do our groups look in NextGen?
So we just came up with a series of questions to kind of evaluate what that looks like for our group. So if you're talking about grace, you could be saying, are our groups easy to join? What are the parameters for participation in the group? Is it a capacity or convenience that causes us to close registration? We ask that a lot of the time.
Daniel, you're challenging me here as the rule follower.
Do we close because we really don't have enough room, or do we close because
they missed a deadline? It's easier. Rules are rules.
Dang it, it's easier to just close it.
Yeah.
Another question about grace. Are kids with special needs considered? Do we have grace for kids that just process differently coming in? Cognitive differences. Do we turn away certain ages? So that is a parameter. And we get people that come all the time and say like, oh, we've got a younger sibling that wants to come along. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Do you have grace for that? Or are you trying to really live within the bounds of this is first through fourth grade. We don't allow anybody else in. And it's not to say that's right or wrong. It's just how much grace do you have in those circumstances? Mm. Another question, do kids need to receive sacraments? Are you pushing that? Is it a necessity for kids to participate in your programs? Are you inviting people outside of your church walls? Or is it just people that are coming to your church on the weekend? Do you have outreach? Or how are kids treated when they arrive? Like that's one of the biggest questions about grace. Do you really have an environment of welcoming and grace no matter what kids are looking like when they come in? Are they angry? Are they disheveled? Are they super friendly? How do you treat them? Do you have structures that are focused on relationships? That's one of the biggest things that we try to do is build those relationships in every level of our program. And how do you talk about parents? Are you grumbling or are you trying to partner with them as much as possible? How much grace do you have for parents? Mm-hmm. So just some questions about grace, and they're challenging, not just to anyone that's listening, but those are challenging to us too. We grumble about parents all the time.
Yep.
I know.
It's hard.
It's challenging.
So the flip side or the and side, truth, grace, both grace and truth. So truth is really you're asking, what are you saying to the kids and students in your program? Like, what is your teaching? What are you talking to them about? What do you want them to know? Are they challenged to grow and think more deeply and pray? Because ultimately, that's what we want for them. Is their worldview shaped by the experience they have in your programs? I mean, as parents and as leaders of youth and teens, we're really supposed to prepare them to be competent adults, you know, contributing to society and out in the world. So you really want to make them grow and think more deeply. How much of God's word are they hearing and processing? Are you using scripture? Is that part of your weekly program? When tensions arise, how do you handle it? They're looking to us, for example, and we want to lead by example, so that's a really important one. Are you buddy-buddy, or do you maintain some authority to be able to influence your young people? I would say that's probably one of the hardest ones.
That's hard for our leaders as well to understand. Okay, the grace part that we said we wanted those personal relationships, but there has to be some boundaries to that.
Yeah, that's definitely something that we struggle with leaders, is being able to have respect and control in your small group, but also making it a relational ministry. What are the truths you most want your kids to know? And it's important to have that laid out for yourselves so that you know where you're going with program throughout the year. What are the biggest challenges for you when it comes to church teaching? And how do you speak about and approach the most challenging topics? Those kind of go together. And we have done a series the last couple of years that addresses some of those. We've called it Hot Topics.
Hot Topics.
Yeah. Yes. The Hot Pocket was the image and inspiration for that. But it's important, you know, like these kids want to know about how the church feels about these things. And we want to provide them with a safe space to sort of go through that and challenge themselves and their thinking and go forward with that. And lastly, which kind of keeps all of these things together, is do you teach young people what to think or how to think? It's really, we're not just talking at them. We want them to really understand these concepts and be able to apply these truths to every aspect of their life.
Yeah. Wow. Great questions on both sides. But it ultimately will come down to the situation with everyone, with all of your students, with your leaders in general. So when we look at Jesus, it says at the beginning of John's gospel that he is the fullness of grace and truth. But then he goes and lives that out with every interaction and relationships. He shucks social customs to approach the woman at the well with extreme grace, but also tells her to get her life in order. He's quick to praise and equally quick to chastise Peter for his faith and lack of faith. So what are some practical ways to practice grace and truth in our programs?
Yeah, we always want to get practical, so we're just going to give you some ideas here. So on the grace side, number one is to pick your fights. So is registration going to be a sticking point? We have deadlines. We generally try to stick to them. We recently just had a student leader who was late after constant reminders to go on this retreat. And so when he came back after the deadlines, we said no. His dad wrote an email, explained the situation. I said, you know, it's up to you as the parent. Do you want consequences for his inaction, or do you want him to be able to participate? And they chose participation. So there was some grace there. The same student leader almost didn't come on retreat last year because of behavioral issues, but he's totally turned and is really focused and so helpful. We could have just said no in either of those situations, but we decided that grace mattered more than truth in those situations. We were not going to pick those fights. And if we hadn't have had a bed for him on the retreat, or we couldn't have added any more because the retreat center or ratios of adults to kids or practical issues like that, we would have said no. But instead, it was an opportunity to give some undeserved favor. So pick your fights carefully.
Mm-hmm. Good. Number two, use language everyone recognizes. So Sammy was just working on a lesson with saints, and there were these words that, like litany. Instead of saying litany, she could have said list. Or when she uses the word litany, she explains it's just like a list. Another example would be saying pews. Sometimes kids are like, what's a pew? Is it a bad smell? I don't get it. They're seats. They're seats that we sit in. Evangelization, like that's a big scary word. But if you just say it really means invest and invite, then students and kids say, hey, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Genuflect. Like even some adults are like, what? Is that the sign of the cross? I don't know what. So kneel in reverence, genuflect, easy. So you can use these Catholic or Christian terms, and it's good to use them. It's important. It's a part of our tradition. But really explain them. Like Nobody wants to feel silly or stupid or doesn't know what you mean. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have a vocabulary for those specific things, but explain it to people so they're in the know.
Yeah, definitely. And third, add rungs on the ladder. So one of the hardest parts about church culture is that people feel like they're in the club or they're not. So we work very hard to make the steps for people achievable. An unchurched family is unlikely to start praying the rosary every night with their kids, but they can bring their kids to our program each week. That is a step that they can take in the right direction. They can read a book we give them with their kids. So don't dumb it down. Just make it achievable. Give them steps and rungs on the ladder to get there so it's not as intimidating that you just have to go all in or nothing.
All right. So those are some ideas for grace. We have three ideas for truth as well. So number one is to be challengingly biblical. So this is something that I've been really trying to do, and that is to start with scripture. Instead of finding your scripture based on what you want to teach, which to be honest is what we've been doing for most of the last couple of years with our curriculum, find what you want to teach based on your scripture. So if you're lectionary based in your program, start with what the lectionary is and build your message off of that. It will absolutely shift your perspective. Mm-hmm.
Number two, ask lots of questions. We really want to let our kids and teens come to conclusions themselves. It's going to make more sense for them if they find their own way. And that's kind of hard to do as a leader, but we ask our leaders to be great question askers instead of a great conclusion drawer. And for some of us, me especially, I like to solve the problem for everybody. And that's not what we want to do here. We just want to keep asking questions. We want to, again, go back to that. We want to teach them how to think and not just what to think.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, for truth, is to approach everything with humility. Your vulnerability opens the hearts of young people to listen to you. When they can see that you are being open, honest, vulnerable, they are more likely then to also be that in response to you. It goes back to that relation that you're building. So instead of being dogmatic, begin with how you're on the journey of living a certain teaching or truth. You're journeying along with them.
All right. So those are some ideas, practical ways that we're trying to live out both grace and truth. And as always, we have one bright idea to end with. Among many bright ideas today. This one is to talk to your ministers about the balance between grace and truth. Most ministers will probably lean one way or the other. So how do you strike the right balance? Jesus was the fullness of both. You can study that passage from John chapter 1, but get really specific with them and make it a discussion. What is the right balance of grace and truth?
Well, thanks so much for joining us on today's Car Rides worth of content. We are going to continue this series both and next time, and we're going to be focusing on content and connection. We love you very much.